Hi friends, welcome back. I hope you're having a great week and a great summer. For those of you who are joining for the first time, my name is Mia, and this is my podcast called My Comfort Show, where I just talk about different episodes of The Gilmore Girls, and I also talk about different drinks and treats or just like food that I like and that I wanted to pair with the episode. So I usually think of something that inspired me from the episode that we watched, and then I share it with you all because I really like cooking and I like being creative with cooking. So I hope that's a fun thing to listen to and maybe try on your own. But that's pretty much it. And this podcast isn't really, like, it doesn't have to be about Gilmore Girls. It's not, like, there's nothing particularly about Gilmore Girls that puts it above anything else I've ever watched. I do really, really enjoy it, though, and I think it's a very comforting show, but I really just picked it because it's an excuse to talk every week on this podcast, and it's an excuse to feel comforted and talk about food that I love and cooking that I love. So it's really just an excuse to talk about things that I love every week. And I hope that's really enjoyable for you. So for this week, I'm going to be talking about Season 1, Episode 2. It's titled The Lorelei's First Day at Chilton. And the air date was October 12th, 2000. And let's get into the drink of the week and the snack of the week. So, I forgot to mention this in last week's episode, but I don't really drink coffee and I don't drink alcohol, so most of my drink of the week ideas that I come up with are going to be something else. So, it's usually going to be a tea. But I don't know. I think it's good just because coffee is mentioned in basically every episode of Gilmore Girls, and if I chose coffee every week, that would be a little bit too easy. So I think it kind of works out, and I just want to be creative with what I choose. So for the drink of the week this week, just to go with this particular episode, I decided to do a theme of peaches because there's a scene in the episode where Suki is in the kitchen and she's looking through a crate of peaches, and she's touching each one, making, you know, sort of trying to figure out which ones are the best. And that whole scene just inspired me to do a peach themed drink. So I have a hot version and a cold version, depending on what you're feeling like drinking, because it's summertime, and today drinking hot drinks in the summer is a little bit difficult, so I have two options depending on what you want. So the hot version is I did two tea bags of a peach green tea from the brand The Secret Garden. That was just what I had, and then I just brewed it and like let it sit and cool off. You can wait for it to cool off, or if you want it to be really hot, then you can just drink it. But that was really, really good. And if you want like a really cold version, then you can wait for it to cool down fully, add ice to it, and also if you had peach slices, you could add that to the cold version. And then also if you wanted to pour a soda or kombucha or something on top with some ice. That would be so, so good for summer. And then for the snack or treat that I would pair with this episode, I actually got a homemade chocolate chip cookie, which I actually think goes really well with this episode because I feel like at Chilton, Rory might feel a little bit out of place just being in this environment that's totally new to her, and it feels like everyone else kind of has their groove going on, and she's just really out of place. So maybe she needs something that makes her feel at home. Maybe this is something that she would bring from home and have it for dessert for lunch or something. So she would have this homemade chocolate chip cookie. So I thought that would be really perfect. And if you guys have your own recipes that you come up with or that you were just inspired to have or inspired to eat while you're watching this episode, then please share them with me because I would love to know what ideas you all came up with. Maybe you didn't do something peach themed, maybe you came up with something else that was that you were inspired to do just by watching the episode. I would love to know what you did, what you came up with. So please email me at mycomfortshow@gmail.com because that would be really fun for me. So thanks so much, and I hope I know I already said this already, but I really hope you all are doing well. And I hope this segment of coming up with a drink and a snack together and just kind of sharing why it relates to the episode and just being inspired and having fun with it. I hope that that is really enjoyable for you all. And yeah, so in terms of where we left off last time, just to kind of give a bit of context before we jump into the plot of the episode. So we know that Rory got into Chilton, which is a private prep school, and Lorelai needed to borrow the tuition money from her parents in order for Rory to actually be able to attend the school. So that's kind of where we're at. And now we can go into the episode summary for episode two. We open up on Lorelai and Rory, and they're on their porch. It's the evening before her first day at Chilton. So Lorelai is doing Rory's nails, and she says, you have to look good for your first day at school or your first day at your new school. And it's funny because at the end of the scene, Lorelai says, whatever, you're gonna be wearing shoes anyway. No one's gonna see your nails or your toenails. But it's sweet. I think even if no one's gonna see it, it still gives you confidence. Great, wear your nail polish. So then moving on, it's the next morning. It's 7:10 a.m. and Rory goes into her mother's room and realizes that her mother overslept, which, oh my gosh, she's going to be late on her first day. It's very stressful, and this is again one of those instances where it feels like the roles are reversed between Lorelai and Rory. It feels like sometimes Lorelai is being the child of the two, and it was, yeah, it's just kind of interesting to see that. But Lorelai is, she gets up as soon as she can. I mean, as soon as she realizes she overslept, she's out of bed and she's looking for her clean clothes because she had prepared all these clean, like very nice professional clothing so that she could look good when she's taking her daughter to school because it's like this new school, and we get the impression that it's a very fancy place and she wants to look really professional for it. But unfortunately, she realizes that she sent all her nice clothes to the cleaners, and she ends up having to wear a pink tie-dye shirt, like very short shorts and cowboy boots kind of thing. And it's just a really, it's just not an appropriate look for taking her daughter to school on the first day, of course. And that sort of becomes an issue once they actually drive to Chilton and once they actually show up there, because they see that it just, it basically fits their description of what they imagined it was going to be like, just a very imposing place, very kind of old-fashioned old-fashioned kind of building. And Lorelai, you know, okay, she's wearing maybe not the best outfit for the occasion, but even though she just drove her daughter to school, she's expecting to just, okay, I'm just going to drive her to school and then I'll just go back. Like, I don't have to get out of the car. But Rory tells her that she needs to meet the headmaster on the first day. She, meaning Lorelai, needs to meet the headmaster. And that's just another kind of stressful situation for both of them, because she really just does not feel prepared to do that. So regardless, she puts on a coat and she's just going to meet the headmaster no matter what, because she really wants to do what's best for her daughter. And if she needs to make a good impression by meeting the headmaster on the first day, then she's going to do that. And on their way to kind of, you know, they're kind of walking around the campus of the school trying to look for the headmaster's office, and they meet, they asked a father of one of the children, one of the students at the school. His name is Ian Jack, I think. And they ask him, do you know where the headmaster's building is? Do you know where his office is? And he just immediately takes an interest in Lorelai. And it's sweet. They just have this rapport going on, and after that, they're able to find the headmaster's office, and his name is Headmaster Charleston. Yeah, Charleston. And Lorelai is just really, really nervous. She's stuttering. She's rambling. I think it's just maybe the fact that she is in this environment where everyone is really very reserved and very kind of uptight, it seems, and she's just the complete opposite of that. Just naturally, that's her personality, and so maybe just being in this environment heightens that contrast between who she is and who they are. So yeah, she just seems really nervous, and she and Rory, they walk into the headmaster's office, and it's this big reveal that Lorelai's mother, Emily Gilmore, is sitting in the headmaster's office. Like, she's just right there, and Emily says, oh, we're old friends, we've, you know, my husband is business partners with the headmaster, and I think, forget what her own connection, maybe she had a connection with the headmaster's wife, something like that. But they're all old friends, and she explained that she just wanted to be there to wish Rory a good first day. And I mean, of course, that's not the only reason. I think actually showing up to the office and speaking to the headmaster, just in a similar way as Lorelai is doing, it just shows that you're making an effort to get to know the headmaster of the school. And I guess that kind of gesture is something that would be very appreciated by the headmaster and just the administration at the school. And so, unfortunately, Lorelai has to take off her coat so that the headmaster wouldn't think it's rude, and she reveals her outfit, and that just further kind of creates this distance, I guess, between her more casual or laid back, down to earth kind of personality that seems really different from the lifestyle at Chilton. And, you know, they're all kind of chatting, and then Lorelai and Emily walk out of the office, and as they're walking out of the office, we see that they're upset at each other, specifically that Lorelai is upset at Emily because she feels like her mother is just inserting herself into her and Rory's life and kind of changing the way that Lorelai wants to do things. And Lorelai has her own way of raising her daughter, and it seems like Emily is just sort of getting in the way of that. And I understand both sides. Emily was saying that she thinks it's important to let the school know that they have a Gilmore among them, and it's clear that Emily just wants to make a good impression for Rory at this school, especially because she has a personal relationship with the headmaster. But Lorelai would rather do things her own way. And so there's kind of a clash going on there. But for the rest of the episode, we kind of follow Rory's experience and then Lorelai's experience kind of in parallel throughout the rest of the day. So I guess I'll go over Rory's side of the story, or kind of Rory's day, and then I'll go over Lorelai's after that, just so we're not like hopping back and forth between each one of them. But so after Lorelai and Emily left the headmaster's office, they left because they wanted Rory and the headmaster to have their own time to speak with each other. And it kind of seems like the headmaster is giving her a bit of an interview to see what her interests are, and he sort of asks her what she wants to do with her life after Chilton, and she explains that she wants to go to Harvard and study journalism and political science on her way to becoming Christiane Amanpour. And the headmaster is kind of like, why? He has this weird reaction to her explaining her big dreams in life, and he kind of seems a bit dismissive, actually, and it's sort of weird and off-putting, at least for me to watch it. It was very strange. Just the fact that Christiane Amanpour is on TV. She travels the world, and that's the kind of thing that Rory wants to do. She says she wants to travel the world, see the world up close, be a part of something big. But all the while, the headmaster just thinks that she just wants to be on TV, and I guess he has this very old-fashioned way of thinking, I guess. He thinks that every young person just wants to be on TV. They want to be famous, maybe. They want to put, they just want to be seen on TV. But Rory, either she doesn't really, maybe his dismissiveness of her dreams is just not translating to her, or she just doesn't pick up on it, or she is really that grounded because she seems really confident that she would be able to achieve her dreams, which is a very sweet thing. So after that little interview, the headmaster explains that he really likes Rory's grandparents, and he said that they host great parties. He had the best lobster puffs at one of Emily's parties, and he says that despite the fact that he really enjoys the company of her family, none of that ultimately matters, and he's not going to give her special treatment, and things are going to be really rough and difficult for her because she's in this school that is really academically rigorous, and she shouldn't, it's very likely that she's going to have a difficult time, and she should just prepare for that, I guess. And in some way, I kind of appreciate that he said that, because I think maybe going into that scene, and as soon as you hear that Rory's grandparents actually are personal friends with the headmaster at her school, I think my first thought was, oh, maybe Emily is going to try to maybe try to use that personal relationship as a kind of leverage to make Rory get good grades or something. I mean, that could be a possible direction where this would be going. But I appreciate that the headmaster said outright to Rory, and also to the audience as we're watching, he says this personal relationship has nothing to do with it, and you're just going to be just like all the other students here. It's going to be hard for you, and you're probably going to fail. And that's, it's going to be really difficult. So just be aware of that, and be ready to work really hard for this school. So continuing along with Rory's storyline here, she, I think the headmaster tells her she needs to bring her file to Miss James across the hall in the kind of administrative office. And it's this really thick file, and Rory gives it to Ms. James, and Ms. James hands it over to a kind of student assistant or intern, who is, yeah, she's just a student at the school. She's a young girl, and she's sitting in the corner by the window. She has this desk in the office, and that girl just very sneakily hands she kind of passes that file through the window, and we see that Paris and two of her minions are sitting right under the windowsill. They're kind of hiding behind a bush, and you can tell they have just a few seconds before someone comes by and sees them, but they're basically flipping through Rory's file and trying to figure out, I guess, figure out who she is, because she's the new student at the school, and Paris Paris sees her as maybe a potential new competitor, and they figure out that Rory is into political science, and they immediately jump to this conclusion that she would probably apply for a position at the school paper, which Paris wants to apply for as well. And Paris explains to the minions that she's like, why are all these new students coming to the school? They take up space and they screw up the curve. So it's clear to us that Paris sees Rory being a new student as a threat to her own reputation and her own success. So she's a very competitive girl. So then we go into the classroom, and again, we see more of this competitive nature between Paris and really all the other students at the school. I mean, they're learning about like Russian authors, and Paris knows all of the answers. She answers immediately. It's like she's the only student who knows the answers immediately. And this is also where we meet Tristan Dugray for the first time. So he's another student at the school, and he comes in very late to class. There's only five minutes left in class, and he shows up. And he's going to show up later, of course. But at the end of class, the teacher gives Rory a really, really, really big binder of study materials, and he explains that this is 1 week's worth of study materials for my class. The test is tomorrow, but you can take the makeup test on Monday. And most importantly, he tells her that she needs to get the notes from a fellow student in the class as well. So I guess all the information in this binder is not enough, and she needs to get the notes from another classmate. So after that class, Rory is walking around in the hallway, and Paris just comes up to her and introduces herself. And Paris is clearly trying to figure out if Rory is going to try to get a position in the school paper, which we learn is called the Franklin. And Paris wants to be the editor of the paper. She says she's top of the class. She wants to be valedictorian, and she doesn't want anyone encroaching on her domain. And then we also see an encounter between Tristan and Rory. And Tristan keeps calling her Mary, which is kind of weird. He's like, he's very just all up in her face, just no personal space. And he offers to lend her his notes from the class. And it's probably one of those situations where if she accepts to taking his notes from him, then that would be like later on he would have he would be able to ask her for something in return. Like it just seems like he's trying to, I don't know, maybe he's trying to use her, I don't know. I think he sees her as very vulnerable, and that's kind of why he's calling her Mary. And it just seems like he doesn't have good intentions, and he's just very strange. Maybe he's just trying to take advantage of the fact that she's a new student and doesn't really know her way around, and that makes her really vulnerable. But I don't know, what did you guys think was up with him? But later, she's trying to get her locker door open. She's really struggling to get her locker open, and she ends up falling backwards. So she's kind of standing at her locker, and then Paris is walking right behind her, and just at that moment, Rory falls backward as she's pulling on the lock. And Paris was carrying this diorama or sort of project that she was going to present in her class, and the diorama just falls to the ground and it's completely broken, and Paris is just totally pissed off. She's just, I mean, you can tell there's just whatever was already bubbling beneath the surface is just really boiling right now. She's just so upset. And of course, just Rory's good luck, she ends up having to go to the same class as Paris and Tristan that next period. And that is the class where Paris would have had to present the project that was just broken. And Paris is forced to tell the whole class that she doesn't have her project and she would need to get an incomplete grade on the project. And it's very weird. I think she's literally standing up in the middle of the classroom when everyone else is sitting down. It's very, very dramatic. And Rory then stands up and she's owning up to accidentally wrecking the project, and she's really like profusely apologizing. And the teacher says, fine, if you're the one who's taking responsibility for breaking her project, then fine, you can help her fix it. You two can fix it together and just present the project tomorrow so that you can actually get a grade and it won't be incomplete. But Paris is just so upset that she doesn't even want any help from Rory. And I think, again, it's that weird transaction, I guess, kind of like what I was talking about with Tristan earlier, where maybe Paris feels like if she agrees to Rory helping her fix her project, then Paris would probably kind of owe her something in the future, and maybe she doesn't want to feel indebted to someone else. But also maybe it's just her own personal pride. She doesn't want to accept help from anyone. So she's really like, no, I don't want your help. So I don't really know how that scene ended. So I don't really know whether they did end up agreeing to work on the project together. We'll see how that goes. But later in that history class, I think it was a history class, you can see Rory is writing a note to Paris saying she's really, really sorry. And Paris just takes it, crumples it up. She doesn't even look at Rory, and she just tosses it on the ground. But most importantly, we see that in that class, Rory knows all the answers and is able to say them before Paris can even open her mouth, basically. And it's clear that Paris actually has some fair competition with Rory, and I am really curious to see how this goes along in future episodes, just how how it all plays out, because it's weird. I feel like Paris just seems so stressed out all the time about probably feeling like, even though she's in this really high position, like she's at the top of her class and she's very successful and accomplished at school, but you can tell she's just very stressed about anyone even coming near her status. So, and it's clear that Rory actually has the ability to come close to where Paris is standing. So, I'm just curious to see how that all plays out, and whether it will actually become very competitive, or whether maybe both of them will be able to become friends. I don't know. I've watched a few episodes ahead, and also, I mean, maybe this is a good time to explain, but I have watched the first season of this show a long time ago, but I honestly, I forget what happens. So that's why it might be kind of confusing. You might be thinking, like, why do you keep saying that you love this show, even though it sounds like you haven't really watched it? And that is the truth. Like, it's basically, every time I watch a new episode, it's like I feel like I'm seeing it for the first time. But to be honest, I have watched it many years ago. And I guess it was just one of those situations where you don't remember anything that happened particularly. You just remember how it made you feel. And I just always remember having this mental note in the back of my mind, just that I really loved the way that this show just feels really comforting, and I just loved watching it, especially in the evening, maybe right before I go to bed. I remember when I used to watch it, that it just gave me that really warm feeling, and so I always wanted to come back to it someday and just really watch it, hopefully all the way through. But yeah, that's kind of where I stand with the show. So I do really, really love it, but my reactions to these episodes, they really are just genuinely pretty much like a first-time reaction. So I genuinely don't really know what's going to happen in this show, but getting back to what I was saying, I am hoping that Rory and Paris do become friends, because I feel like we get hints at that a little bit in future episodes, but nothing too much so far that I've seen. But it would be really cool to see how this super competitive dynamic can just get broken down, and I hope it does get broken down. But yeah, I mean, that's where we end with Rory's storyline in terms of when she's just at school by herself. So now let's follow Lorelai. Let me go back up in my notes. All right, so with Lorelai, she's kind of running all around town. So right now, after she came back from the headmaster's office, she came back from Chilton. So now she's back in Stars Hollow. And this is all happening while Rory's at school. So, like, Lorelai is doing her own stuff during the day. She's working, and she picked up her clothes from the cleaners finally. So she actually has her lovely professional. It's like a, I'm pretty sure it was a blazer and a skirt, but it looked very, very professional and really, really nice outfit. And this is what she would have worn to school earlier that day, but unfortunately her clothes weren't ready by that time. So she's at the inn. She's at home, and she gets a phone call, and it's from her mother. And Emily is saying that she's looking through the school catalog, the Chilton catalog, and she wants to buy some new clothes for Rory's school. She mentions the school sweater, a coat, some socks, and Lorelai is just very, she says things like, you know, Rory already has her own clothes, I already got her part of the uniform, she has everything she needs. And Emily is, she's being very generous. I mean, it's such a grandmother kind of thing to buy clothes for your granddaughter and just to want the best for them and to make sure that they have everything that they need. And I really do appreciate what Emily is doing, but I think Lorelai, again, is just another one of those examples of Lorelai feeling like that Emily is just kind of overstepping or just kind of trying to step out of her bounds, you know, because buying clothes for Rory is something that her mother should be doing, and Lorelai thinks she has it under control, but when Emily does it herself, it's like a bit of a, it's a bit insulting to Lorelai. I think that's sort of how she takes it. She thinks it's a way of insulting her own parenting style, maybe. And let's see. So there is a very quick scene where Lorelai, Suki, and Jackson are at the Independence Inn. They're in the kitchen, and that's the scene where Suki is looking through all the peaches, and it's very sweet because Suki is just super excited that Rory had her first day, and she wants to sort of hear all about how it was going. And this is another instance where Emily calls Lorelai now at her job, And Emily is saying that she bought Rory a parking space at Chilton, and she might even buy her a car because her birthday's coming soon. But Lorelai again just shuts it down. She says she's going to take the bus. She doesn't need a car. And Lorelai has her own way of doing things. She already has her own plan for Rory. And then actually at the inn, the man, I think his name was Ian, the Chilton dad from earlier, he actually runs into Lorelai in the lobby of the inn, because she, when they were talking earlier at Chilton, Lorelai was saying that she worked at the Independence Inn in Stars Hollow, so he came into Stars Hollow, and he basically hosted a friend there for lunch, and he also kind of wanted an excuse to see her and ask her out to a dinner, and she ultimately turns him down because she just thinks it's a bit complicated to like date another parent from Chilton. But it is really sweet. Like, I thought, I mean, you can tell that they like each other, and I feel like they do have good chemistry, but I don't know if it would really work out. I have no idea if we see this guy again. But he does say that he is going away on business, and he's going to ask her out again when he comes back in a week, just to see if she's changed her mind. So I don't know, we'll see if that goes anywhere. But later we see that actually Lorelai ends up kind of telling Luke about the fact that she turned down this Chilton dad who asked her out, and it's kind of a cute moment because Luke seems a little bit relieved. He's like, yeah, he just seems kind of relieved that she turned him down. And I think Lorelai and Luke definitely have a very good chemistry going on, and it does feel like one of those relationships where it might just be one of those long awaited relationships in a TV show where they're always kind of hinting at it, and maybe it doesn't actually happen for many seasons. I'm not sure. Maybe that's a little prediction I have for the two of them. But another instance with Lorelai and Emily kind of butting heads is that Emily ordered DSL installers to come over to Lorelai and Rory's home because she wants Rory to have high-speed internet. And again, like very similarly to how Lorelai didn't want Rory to get a car or anything like that, Lorelai's, she actually confronts Emily at the hair salon later, and she's just, this is where they have their big argument, or maybe their most central argument of the episode, where Lorelai just explains her frustration to Emily with how she is just really, like, despite being really appreciative of everything her mother is doing for her and Rory, she just feels a bit suffocated, and she has her own way of doing things, and she doesn't want her mother to mess with that. It's tough. And I personally feel like Lorelai is a bit too proud to accept the really generous things that Emily is doing for her. And I do wonder if maybe later on in future episodes she'll be able to kind of appreciate that even more. And that's I mean, that's pretty much where both of their days sort of close, and then we see a few scenes at the very end of the episode where Lorelai and Rory are reconnecting at the end of the day. They're kind of talking to each other about how their days went, and they both had really difficult days, as we know. And Lorelai explains that when someone calls you Mary, it means that you seem like really innocent and really naive, I guess, and she was surprised that people even did that anymore, so it seems kind of like maybe an old-fashioned thing to call someone Mary. I don't know, I thought it was very weird. But then the very last scene is we have the Gilmore girls and Lane are just walking down what seems to be the main street of Stars Hollow, and they're eating pizza, and it's so pretty in the evening. There's all these like fairy lights everywhere. It's just beautiful. I love, love, love it. And there's a very sweet moment between Lorelai and Rory where she says, "You can't let these angry girls like Paris, you know, Paris who's just filled with rage and she's always just has something bubbling beneath the surface, and you just can't let girls like that get you down because they're just dealing with their own stuff." And we can imagine that Lorelai had maybe a similar experience when she was in high school, just feeling judged by others, or yeah, dealing with people who are just very, they're just dealing with their own issues and unfortunately have to take it out on other people. Like, don't let it get you down, you know? Rory is just as smart, if not smarter, than Paris, as we saw. And so that's no reason for her to, you know, just because Paris is kind of letting her anger out at Rory, that doesn't mean that she should dumb herself down just to kind of let Paris have her way all the time. She should just allow her own self to shine and just be who she is. So I thought that was a really sweet moment to end on. And yeah, that's the end of the episode, you guys. I did think it was really funny when the, I think her name was Miss James, in the administrative office, she was saying to Rory that the words, she was like piling a bunch of stuff onto Rory. She was saying, "You need to know the words to the school song, which must be recited upon demand at any time," which is so crazy. But I thought that was very funny. And gosh, there was just a lot that I really loved about this episode. I just really love seeing students at school and just seeing how students interact with each other, because I think going to school, being in high school, dealing with other students, and it's just a very universal experience, and it's always fun and interesting to see, no matter how many times I see this setting of high school show up in movies, TV shows, books, whatever it may be, it's always interesting to see a different take on it. And I really enjoyed this episode. I can't wait to see more of how it goes. So I think this is a perfect place to take a little break, and I'll come back with some questions. Okay, I just have a few questions. My first question is, did you all feel the same way as I did about Lorelai and Emily's argument at the hair salon? Like, did you maybe have a different interpretation for why Lorelai was angry with her? Or I sort of have my own idea as to why Lorelai was upset, but I don't know if you all thought about it a different way, or maybe you understood her perspective from a different angle. And also, who do you side more with, or do you kind of understand both sides? I'm kind of curious what you all thought about that. And then also, do you agree with my predictions for how Rory and Paris are going to turn out? Or do you feel like, I don't know, I guess I feel like Paris is going to become a bigger character in the story. And I was wondering, what are your predictions for that if you haven't watched too far ahead? And on that note, I was wondering if my listeners have watched this series before, or if you're also kind of watching it for the first time-ish, like I am. I would love to know what your background is with this show, and yeah, why you love it, or problems you have with it, or whether it's your first time watching, because that's always really interesting to know where you all are coming from with that. So please send me your thoughts at mycomfortshow@gmail.com, and I would love to know what you all are thinking. So just to kind of wrap things up, I just wanted to give you the title for next week's episode, which is Kill Me Now. And that's episode 3 from season 1, which we'll be talking about next week. And I just hope you all are having a great Tuesday night, or if you're listening to this on a different day, I hope you're having a really good day. And I really look forward to hearing from you and to speaking with you next week. And yeah, please email me if you have any thoughts. I would love to hear from you. Bye!